Bad news sells. Pessimism sells. In our news bulletins and in our newspapers, bad news sends the ratings sky high. And we are, as we know so well, fed daily on a diet of gloom. Be it the shocking details of the inquisition into Nigella Lawson's marriage to Charles Saatchi, or the appalling details which covered many pages of the papers this week of Soldier Lee Rigby's murder on the streets of Woolwich, or the massacre of thousands in the past week in South Sudan, or the car bomb in Egypt yesterday which killed over 20 and injured another 100. Bad news is coming at us all the time. And looking for good news in the media is like looking for a needle in you know where. But the good news is there if we know where to look for it. And here is some that I have found in one of last week's magazines, and mainly about global poverty. In the year 2000, the UN set certain goals for the new millennium. One plan was to halve the number of people in the world living on a dollar a day and do it by 2015. And this goal, we're told, was reached by 2010, 5 years early. Another goal was to halve the number of people living without access to drinking water by 2015. And this goal was achieved last year. The United Nations also wanted to improve the lives of 100 million slum dwellers with water supply, sanitation and better housing by 2020. This target was met 10 years earlier. It is true that something like 400 million children still live in poverty. But at the current rates, the World Bank's target to all but eliminate poverty by 2030 would also be achieved early. And there are enormous advances in medicine in the past 30 years or so. Cambodia, a country which our diocese has strong links with nowadays, recently announced that it hopes to have no more deaths by malaria by 2015. And it has halved the number of infections in the course of the last year alone. And finally, in Malawi, antiretroviral drugs have halved the number of AIDS-related deaths in a decade. And good news here at home is it has emerged recently this year that there is enough shale gas in Lancashire to power Britain for 50 years. So it is surely good news that all these things are happening. And we ask, where is the impulse of the energy coming from? Where are the people who are doing all this? Her Majesty the Queen gave an address to the United Nations 3 years ago. And in the course of her speech, she said that the greatest achievements in her long reign as Queen had come about, and I quote her, not because of governments or committees, not because of governments or committees, but because millions around the world have wanted them. Her Majesty was too polite to spell it out, but she was saying that politicians follow the world, not lead the world. And of those millions who have willed to the great advances which the Queen refers to, many, very many, have taken their cue from the man whose birthday we celebrate this morning. The inspiration of Jesus has made millions of people over the centuries give their energies and their lives to easing the world's suffering. And more than anybody who ever lived, he vowed his life to the work of caring for the ones whose pain and degradation the world was accustomed to ignore. I'm not trying to say that the great advances were all the work of people inspired by Jesus. But Jesus showed the world something that it hadn't really realized before he came. He showed that human life, as he lived it, was capable of being open to the divine and doing wonderful things. Human life was capable of being open to the divine and was capable of doing wonderful things. So he taught the world that God is in each one of us. The world has spent billions in the last few years trying to find the God particle. But the God particle is in each one of us. And the world's progress in finding ways of helping the people of Syria, the people of South Sudan, Somalia, wherever, is surely fueled by men and women who, inspired by the divine life within them, have willed to cure the world's ills. As I said, there is good news if we know where to look for it. Good news wherever God is allowed to help people to use their divine spark to set them on the road to helping others in their needs. God is not absent. And you don't have to travel half the world like the three wise men to find him. He is everywhere in the world. He is within each one of us. To feed him, to find him, does not usually require that we renounce our worldly possessions and enter a monastery, or give ourselves over to some great cause of social justice. All too often the task to which we are called is simply to show a kindness to the irritating person at work, or somebody behind us in the queue at Tesco's, or simply to reach out in a gesture of affection to someone from whom we have withdrawn our love, and therefore and thereby allowing grace to waken love from our self-enclosed sleep.